Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you. I was last here in June, and I'm noticing a few changes. First of all, this pile of fruit, canned fruit and vegetables is certainly growing. It's much larger than it was back in June, and so clearly you're meeting the challenge that you have set for yourself. And the other thing that is different is that you are all, now I want to phrase this correctly, you are all better looking than you were in June. Now, maybe I should explain. I had cataract surgery. I was going to explain further, but you see what I mean. So that happened earlier a week or so ago, and obviously it was successful. At least the left eye. We'll see in a couple of weeks how the right eye fares. But again, I am grateful. If I may go on this tangent, I am grateful for our public healthcare system. I recognize it's a little frayed around the edges at times and it's under pressure, but I was at Brantford General Hospital and it couldn't have gone smoother, and the staff couldn't have been more professional and reassuring, and so I'm grateful for the province we live in the country. The other thing that has happened since I've last saw you is that a few weeks ago, I had breakfast with a fellow I think some of you know and may remember, Aubrey. It's been a long time. Aubrey and I have, over the years that we've served in Cambridge, we get together for breakfast every couple of months. We've been doing that for years now. Although this was a little different because we did not talk about the church. We avoided that topic altogether. But I did want to say to you and just kind of prepare you, much the way our scripture reading talks about, and I'll get to that in a moment, the scripture reading this morning talks about a man who went to the top of a mountain to be away. It's Moses I'm talking about, and he's up in the mountain, and he was gone long enough that a bunch of changes took place. We'll talk about that. And so I just want to prepare you for Aubrey's return. He's grown his hair down to his shoulders. He's got a beard. He wears shorts all the time now. Anybody buying that? Peter, are you? That doesn't sound like Aubrey. I will tell you, he looks rested, relaxed, at peace, and he is looking forward. I can tell you this with sincerity. The only time we talked about the church is that he was looking forward to his return to his faith community. And that's in 2 weeks, I believe. So he's looking forward to that. And again, I want to thank you, as I did in June, for the great gift that you have given him these past couple of months. Our scripture reading is from the Old Testament. It's from Exodus. It's from the 32nd chapter, the first 14 verses. Moses was taking a long time to come down from the mountain. So the people gathered around Aaron, and they said to him, "Come, make a god that will lead us. This fellow Moses brought us out of Egypt, but we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take the gold earrings off your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Bring the earrings to me." So all the people took off their earrings. They brought them to Aaron. He took what they gave him, and made it into a metal statue of gold. The statue looked like a calf. Aaron shaped it with a tool, and then the people said, "Israel, here is your God who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw what they were doing, he built an altar in front of the calf. He said, "Tomorrow will be a feast day to honor the Lord." The next day, the people got up early. They sacrificed burnt offerings and brought friendship offerings. They sat down to eat and drink. Then they got up to dance wildly in front of their God. The Lord spoke to Moses. He said, "Go down. Your people you brought out of Egypt have become very sinful. They have quickly turned away from what I commanded them. They have made themselves a metal statue of a god in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down and sacrificed to it. And they have said, 'Israel, here is your God who brought you out, of Egypt.' I've seen these people," the Lord said to Moses. "They are stubborn. Now leave me alone. I will destroy them because of my great anger, and then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses asked the Lord his God to have mercy on the people. "Lord," he said, "why should you destroy your people in anger? You used your great power and mighty hand to bring them out of Egypt. Why should the Egyptians say, 'He brought them out to hurt them'? He wanted to kill them in the mountains. He wanted to wipe them off the face of the earth. Turn away from your great anger. Please take pity on your people. Don't destroy them. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You made a promise to them in your own name. You said, 'I will make your children after you as many as the stars in the sky. I will bring them all this land I have promised them. It will belong to them forever.'" The Lord took pity on his people. He didn't destroy them, as he said he would. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I came across this modern parable some time ago, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. One afternoon, a shopper at the Cambridge Center Mall felt the need for a break. She bought herself a small bag of cookies and a magazine, put them in her shopping bag, and went to the food court, got a coffee, and looked for a space to sit. The food court was crowded, so she ended up, as you sometimes have to, sharing a table with someone else who was there. It was a man who was reading his newspaper. They were, you know, that awkward decision you make. You're at the same table, but you're not together. You sit diagonal from each other. She took the lid off of her coffee, got out her magazine, began to sip and to read. The article she was reading was engrossing. It took all of her attention. At the end of the article, she looked up, and there on the tables, about halfway, was the bag of cookies she thought were hers. She had put them there, she thought, while she took out her magazine. So she reached over, took a cookie, and started to eat it. The man looked at her and smiled, and he took a cookie and started to eat it. She's taken aback. I mean, Cambridge is a friendly place, but we have our limits. She drinks her coffee, reads a bit more of the magazine, and reaches over for another cookie. And he takes another cookie. Well, she's really steamed now. She's thinking, when I go to church this Sunday at Central, I can hardly wait to tell people what's going on. You go up Hespler, the closer you get to Hespler, the strange things happen. I know I'm going to get in trouble for that. I used to get in trouble at Westside for that, so I'm used to it. She realizes there's only one cookie left. And he realizes there's only one cookie left. So he reaches over, breaks it in half, and gives her half of the cookie. Takes his, eats it, folds up his newspaper, nods to her, and walks away. Well, she's beside herself. Packs up all of her stuff, and as she puts her magazine back in her shopping bag, she sees her bag of cookies in there. She's been eating his cookies the whole time. I like that story. I like that parable because it's a reminder to me that even when we are absolutely sure we're in the right, and the other person is in the wrong, we may not have all the facts necessary to make that judgment that we're making. I'm in the right, this other person's in the wrong. In fact, we may be in the wrong. It's not so much that we may need to forgive that other person. We, in fact, may need to be forgiven ourselves. We will keep that parable in mind as we consider the Old Testament reading that I shared with you from the book of Exodus, chapter 32. After many, many years, and I'll quickly recap the story. After many, many years of slavery, the Israelites are now free. And Moses has gone up the mountain to be away and to receive further direction. We learn later, of course, he's receiving the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And he's taking longer than is expected. And the people are getting restless. So what do the people do with this extra time that they find themselves having, this unexpected break? Do they sit around and consider the great journey that they've begun and the deliverance they've received and the new freedom that they have, no longer being under their masters in Egypt? Does that start to go through their mind? No. No. They start to grumble. They start to think about where they exactly are. They're now, as hard as it was living in Egypt, And we, chapters of Exodus, share that part of their story with us. They're now eating manna off the desert floor. They're now living in tents. They're now becoming aware of the hostile animals that are out in the wilderness, in the mountains. And they're becoming aware of the marauding tribes as they move through their territory. Surviving Egypt was tough. Surviving their journey, their Exodus journey through the Sinai, is, so it appears, going to be just as tough, if not worse. So with that background, maybe we can see why they aren't taking this extra time to count their blessings, respond with gratitude, offer thanks to God for their for what they now have. And it doesn't justify what they did next, but it helps explain that they go to Aaron, Moses' elder brother, and say, we need a God. We need something, someone to worship. And Aaron gives in. He accedes to their request. And a calf from gold earrings is made. And an altar is built. And burnt offerings, a feast takes place, a feast day is declared. And they come together, and they sit down, and they drink, and they eat. And then we're told as the day goes on, they dance wildly in celebration. Not surprisingly, God is not happy. God tells Moses, I've seen what these people have done in your absence. They are stubborn. Some translations you'd be familiar with use that wonderful word, stiff-necked. These are stiff-necked people. Leave me alone, he tells Moses. I will destroy them because of my great anger. Now, just to be clear, Moses is going to be okay. He makes that clear. I'm not mad at you, Moses. I'm mad at them. You're fine. In fact, you stay here. I'll take care of them, and I will make you the father of a great nation. You're going to be on your own for a while, but eventually, I'm using you to be the father of a great nation. Moses, always the mediator, well, he offers this analysis. If you do that, the Egyptians get to say, so this was their God's plan, to hurt them, to bring the people into the wilderness and then wipe them off of the face of the earth. This was their God's plan? Moses, in a sense, asks, is this how you want to be remembered? So Moses goes on to say, and he's very direct in his approach now, have pity on them. What about Abraham and Isaac and Israel and the promise you made to them? Okay. Moses has laid the groundwork. Now he has to offer the alternative. Change your mind. Forgive them. This is Moses talking to God. I love this passage because even though I believe that God is eternal and in many ways unchangeable, God always loves us, that doesn't mean that God never changes. As we are about to see, and as we've seen before when we've read this passage, right there, God's already made up God's mind. God has a plan. And Moses says, change it. forgive them. So the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he had planned for the people. And we again see the forgiving God, not just the God of the New Testament, the God of the Bible. We see the forgiving God in Exodus. And now, in the interest of full disclosure, God forgave them. Moses is the one who has the harder time. Moses is in the right here. Remember being in the right and the others are in the wrong? Moses hasn't done anything wrong. But Moses is having a hard time forgiving him. As I say, full disclosure, I stopped reading at verse 14. If I had gone a little further, we would have seen this happen. Moses comes down from the mountain and returns to his people. And this is what happens. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. Okay, Moses, you've made your point. Oh, no. He took the calf the people had made, and he burned it in the fire. Oh, okay. Now you know. Then he ground it into powder, scattered it in the water, and he made the Israelites drink it. Okay, Moses, you've made your point. You are angry at the people that God has already forgiven. And this is how you return to them. With anger. God forgave. But Moses had a much harder time. And I think this is just another one of the myriad of reasons why these stories from the Old Testament have survived thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Because although they are always mostly about God, the humanity in the Bible is always fully on display. God has forgiven God's people. Moses is having a hard time letting go. As you prepare yourselves, as Central Church prepares yourselves for that unofficial beginning of a church year called September, keep that in mind. You'll face challenges going forward. All churches are. Even healthy, strong churches like Central Church. There are challenges ahead of you. I want to phrase this carefully. Not just because Aubrey's returning. Not in spite of Aubrey. With Aubrey returning, you will still have challenges ahead of you. We know the challenges that face Cambridge, that face our church, that face our province and our country and our world. We know what those are. Be forgiving to each other. Be forgiving to yourselves. Because God has already forgiven us. Amen. And so be it.